This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
And happy Wednesday. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Tony's out today, and it's a pleasure to be back with you once again. I'm a 30-year media veteran and producer of this program. I grew up in Kansas City, attended the University of Missouri, and have worked in various aspects of media, and now I live right here in the South, in Oxford, Mississippi. Well, on today's show, the new spokesperson for the Republican National Committee will join us with an update on what Congress faces over the next few weeks. She'll share some of her thoughts on the trial of Democratic Senator Robert Menendez, where he's facing bribery charges. That's getting very little media coverage, by the way. And then we'll talk with Congressman Trent Franks of Arizona. We'll be here to discuss the growing nuclear threats of North Korea. Then on the program, we'll have Kristen Wagner. She'll bring us an update on the case of the Colorado cake artist Jack Phillips, who declined to make a custom cake for a same-sex ceremony. His case very likely going to the U.S. Supreme Court. And then finally, have you noticed the craziness going on many of our college campuses across the country? Well, we'll talk with Campus Reform. They'll join us today to talk about the various issues going on. Down here at Old Miss, we had Banana Gate. You name the colleges, there's something going on. And then, of course, we're going to take your call. Should be a great show today. And I'm glad to be here today filling in for Tony Perkins, who is the president of the Family Research Council. Well, the corruption trial of Senator Robert Menendez began today. The senator from New Jersey, well, he's on trial along with Dr. Solomon Melgen, his longtime political contributor and ally, for attempting to use his political influence to get the Department of Health and Human Services to reverse the regulatory determination that Melgen owned the federal government. You ready for this? $8 million for fraudulent billing practices. Well, surprise, surprise, that story isn't getting much coverage as well in the mainstream media. With us now is Kaylee McEnany, the spokesperson for the Republican National Committee, new to that position and first time here on Washington Watch. Kaylee, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. And I hear you're at Ole Miss. I hate to inform you, my dad is a Mississippi State alumni.
Well, yeah, that's quite the rivalry here. I didn't attend Old Miss. We have a daughter at Old Miss, so we're kind of learning the South down here, and it's kind of fun to watch that rivalry happening here in the South. But we love it here. It's a great, great town.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, how's the new post going? You have pivoted, right, from a CNN as a contributor now to the spokesperson for the RNC.
That's right. It's going great. It's so nice to be among allies and to be fighting this fight on behalf of, you know, my party, our party, and more than that, just our country. You know, I believe in these values. I'm excited about President Trump and his agenda, and just to be here and fight the fight, it's great. It's an awesome transition.
And it's quite a bit different. The latest trend has been, let's see how many liberals we can put against one conservative and then fend for yourself, right?
That's exactly right. Those 8-on-1 panels at CNN, I'm sure you remember them.
Well, this story about Senator Menendez, it's receiving very little coverage in the mainstream media. I was looking at some statistics the other day. You know, Fox has covered it more than most of the other networks. CNN next, and then ABC, NBC, and CBS are kind of next to nothing. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, that's about right. It's very unfortunate. You know, I have all of the networks on here in the office and always am looking up, hoping to see some coverage of the 14-count trial against Senator Menendez, but it is absent from the TV screens. And not only that, you look at the New York Times, they did a 1,300-word story about the trial, failed to mention that Senator Menendez was indeed a Democrat, and got to believe if it was the reverse, the New York Times would have Republican blaring in throughout the article and blaring in the headline.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, this is like the first time these kind of charges have been brought against a sitting senator in some 40 years, four decades. You would think that would warrant some coverage.
That's right. One would think so. And not only that, you know, it allows the Democrats to remain deafeningly silent about this. You know, Senator Schumer was just asked by a CNN reporter, you know, if he would encourage Senator Menendez to resign if he's indeed convicted. And he didn't have an answer. He just said, well, the senator's putting up a spirited defense, innocent until proven guilty, or something to that effect, which is certainly true of our justice system. But, you know, I don't think corruption should be a part of an issue. And sadly for the Democrats, it appears it is.
Well, I was trying to find some audio, but I don't believe the cameras were in this courtroom. But the judge overseeing the case, this was kind of interesting. He told Menendez's attorney to, quote, shut up. He was talking too much and told him to shut up. That's kind of pretty amazing.
That is pretty amazing. And, you know, the facts are so heavily set against the Democratic senator. So I imagine his attorney is talking a lot to try to vouch for the fact that, you know, he was trying to help a wealthy donor get out of the $8.9 million he owed the government after overbilling on Medicare, or the fact that he helped this same wealthy donor secure three different visas for his three girlfriends. You know, there's a lot to talk about there. And I imagine that his attorney is rather loquacious in posing a defense.
Well, and you started to describe what's going on. Let's take a step back just a moment. There could be some listeners that have no idea what we're talking about. Can you just recap for us, what is this trial about?
Sure. So Senator Menendez, a Democratic senator, had a wealthy donor. He was a Florida eye doctor. This donor had given hundreds of thousands of dollars in campaign contributions to the senator, gave him lavish trips, lavish vacations. And in return, there was sort of this apparent quid pro quo where he would ask for things from the senator, like visas for his girlfriends. And Senator Menendez would go lobby to get that done. And this eye doctor had essentially overcharged the government, overbilled on Medicare. So the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services said, you owe us $8.9 million because you overbilled us that much. And Senator Menendez was fighting to get that taken away, that penalty taken away. So there was this evident kind of quid pro quo. You give me donations and lavish trips, and I will give you a leg up in the eyes of government, where we're all supposed to be equal.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you see any Democrats that would call for his resignation?
I certainly hope so, because, you know, these same Democrats who are silent about whether they would call for his resignation if there's a conviction were arguing that when Ted Stevens, a Republican out of Alaska, was convicted for corruption, they were arguing that Republicans needed to stand up and call for this resignation or this expulsion. So these same Democratic senators who once cared about corruption appear not to. I only hope that they start to care again when it affects their own party.
Well, let's pivot just a moment to DACA. You know, this is where these children have been brought into the country, really no fault of their own. Their parents came here, but they're still illegal, and the nation is trying to deal with this. And let's just take a minute. I pulled some audio from CNN's Don Lemon and then political analyst David Gergen in CBS Evening News Report. Just sit back for a second. It's about a minute and a half. Listen to just the outright bias of this story. We'll be right back. Let's listen.
This is one of the most cruel acts we've seen in the presidency in a long time. And the President Obama and President Trump not only disagree on policies, they disagree on values. It goes to very basic things, whether you have respect for minorities, whether you have a belief in diversity, whether you think this country should welcome and continue to hold up the Statue of Liberty as a symbol of what we believe in.
Shattered dreams.
My heart aches today.
We know that we are worthy of being here.
I have a love for these people.
But the president ends protections for young, undocumented immigrants.
Most Americans know how heartless this DACA decision is.
Cecilia Vega with us live tonight from the White House. And Cecilia, tonight, former President Obama, who has weighed in so rarely on this administration, sending a message.
David, he said he would only weigh in on this administration when he felt like our core values as a country are at stake. Well, today he said this move to rescind DACA is cruel, wrong, and self-defeating. David, he said that ultimately this is about basic decency.
Tonight, the president is taking heat from the left and right. Immigration advocates say his move to end DACA is cold-hearted, but his base is accusing Mr. Trump of punting on a core campaign promise, all as the fate of nearly 800,000 young immigrants remains uncertain.
Bias, flat-out discrimination that they're touting coming from this White House. And all you have to do is, if you don't want to look at the words or listen to the words, just look at the policies. Look at the policies that have been put into place. If you're a person of color in this country, what is all of these decisions, what does this say to you?
What does that say to you? Well, you're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. And we're talking with Kayleigh McEnany. She is the spokesperson for the Republican National Committee. Kayleigh, what do you say to that? I've been in this business a long time, and it seems like the spin on the left continues to get more extreme.
Yeah, it's so irresponsible. You know, they are stoking the fears of the American public with the only word I have for it are lies. You know, we've heard deportation. Well, you know, this recension of the DACA memorandum does not affect whether DACA folks will be here or not in the deportation sense. In fact, the Trump administration has said this is not an enforcement priority. We're not going and surveilling the streets to try to find these people and expel them from the United States. So it's not a deportation act. And not only that, I would ask my former colleague, you started those sound clips with David Gergen, and he talked about all of his beliefs. Well, I'd ask him if he has a belief in the Constitution, because President Obama acted lawlessly in issuing a memo that allowed these DACA children to get work permits. And they aren't children, by the way. I should add that they're 23 years old. It was an unlawful act. It was an unconstitutional act. A court has already struck down the DACA counterpart, DAPA. So, you know, this is unconstitutional. It's just completely irresponsible to see the media not point that out. But more than that, to stoke the fears of the American public with this deportation language and to phrase this in racial terms, which is not the appropriate way to look at this.
And now Congress, he's thrown this into the hands of Congress. You know, get to work, roll up your sleeves, and give us a law that's the law of the land, and we don't have simply an executive order. Isn't that right?
That's right. And look, Article 1, Section 8 lists the powers of Congress. The powers of the legislative branch, very clearly, this is within their domain. We're a country that believes in the Constitution, that believes in separation of powers. And I would love to ask each and every one of these mainstream media commentators, how do you define constitutional democracy? Would you rather not have one? Because, you know, for those looking to lower the corporate tax rate, how would they feel if President Trump just issued an unconstitutional memo rescinding a tax that the Congress has allocated for, has legislated? You know, it's unconstitutional, and our Constitution means something. It's been here for a while, and I'd say we should respect it.
And they're back in Washington, D.C., got a short amount of time to get a lot of work done, lots of issues facing Congress. There's a saying, low-hanging fruit, in just this short remaining period of time. Do you see any low-hanging fruit, bipartisan policies that they're going to be able to get done?
Right. Well, we've already seen some today. Look, I think the president is anxious for Congress to move. We saw them raise the debt ceiling and issue hurricane funding in a bipartisan fashion. All in one day, that deal was forged. And I think tax reform, hopefully, will be bipartisan as well.
Well, Kayleigh McEnany, spokesperson for the Republican National Committee, thank you so much for being with us on Washington Watch. Hope to have you back soon. Thanks so much. Well, coming up after the break, we're going to talk with Arizona Congressman Trent Franks. He's got a lot to say about North Korea as they continue to be a threat to the world. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You can find us on the web at tonyperkins.com, frc.org. You can download our radio program, put them on your iPhone, your mobile device, and listen along the way. You can find Tony on Twitter at tperkins.com. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? Our founding fathers knew that God's transcendent truth must be the foundation for all law. Since the early 20th century, however, truth-based rule of law has changed dramatically in America. The progressive era ushered in big change, shifting our standards to make it appear that truth is ever-evolving. America's founding fathers determined truth from a fixed source, God. But progressives determined that truth originated with man, thereby making it possible to change the truth in order to fit shifting cultural opinions and to undergird the power of those elected in office. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston reveals the importance of truth founded in God and the consequences of moral relativism. Is truth fixed or is it subject to change? The future existence of our free democracy hinges on answering this question correctly. Go to frc.org/decay to learn more.
In America, we face a media onslaught against the Christian perspective. It is now seen as anti-cultural and invalid. Dr. Michael Paulson, a law professor at the University of St. Thomas, talked about how Christians can respond intellectually. Dr. Paulson has researched common arguments against religious liberty. For example, religious values are no different than ethical values. Dr. Paulson argues that the law should give religious exemptions because of the perspective of a religious person who necessarily believes in God as an ultimate source. Religion is different and necessitates a different kind of devotion. Moreover, the Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom of exercise. The Christian perspective is one that is not outdated, but still present and still valid according to the Constitution. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As senior director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Here, Mr. Arnakis discusses the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Tony is the president of the Family Research Council. And hey, I wanted to give you an alert. You heard of the Values Voter Summit? Well, it's around the corner, October 13th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. at the Omni Hotel. Great speakers lined up. Folks, I've been to this event a couple of times, and if you want to really hear what's going on in Washington, D.C. and in the policies from a Christian conservative worldview, this is the event to be at. It's called the Values Voter Summit. Lots of things going on for students. There's exhibitors there, various breakout sessions, and just an opportunity to rub shoulders and to hear from people that really care about the country, patriots and people that are serving every day, serving the nation and getting in there and doing the work of the nation. And it's something you want to mark your calendars. Go look at valuesvotersummit.org, valuesvotersummit.org. Also, you can follow us on the web. You can find TonyPerkins.com or FRC.org and follow Tony on Twitter at T Perkins. That's at T Perkins. I'm on Twitter as well. Russ Jones, the number 60. Russ Jones and the number 60. And our listeners down in Florida, you better be bracing. It's not looking good. They're saying this is one of the biggest hurricanes ever, which we thought the one down off the shores of Texas were big. Well, heavy rain and 185 mile per hour winds lashed the Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico's northeast coast Wednesday as Hurricane Irma roared through the Caribbean islands on its way to a possible hit on South Florida. The strongest Atlantic Ocean hurricane ever measured destroyed homes and flooded streets across a chain of small islands in the northern Caribbean. So brace yourselves and just do what you need to do to stay safe and keep your loved ones safe. Well, President Trump is calling on the United Kingdom and Australia for a united front on North Korea. This comes on the heels of the rogue nation's detonation of a hydrogen bomb over the weekend, the latest in a series of threatening provocations. Joining us now is Congressman Trent Franks of Arizona. He represents the 8th Congressional District of Arizona and serves on the Armed Services Committee and the Judiciary Committee. And Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, sir. I'm always glad to be with you guys. I guess Tony's off doing something wonderful today.
Well, he's doing big stuff. You know Tony.
He's
in the mix of things.
One of the greatest Americans.
We value you, Congressman, and one of the folks that we go to that when we know we can trust on the truth. And before we get into North Korea, I understand you just voted for the continued aid to Harvey victims.
Yes. You know, I'm of the opinion that we have to change the method that we do this. I think that we should look to private insurance for these relief efforts as much as possible, because I'm a little bit concerned that if we try to governmentalize this, that it's not a good thing. But at the same time, you know, and I mean, a crisis here, we pretty much all wanted to come to the aid of Texas, and there's so many tragic things happening there that I couldn't vote any other way. But yes.
And, you know, isn't this at a very challenging time as well for the government and the debt ceiling? And, you know, put it into context.
It's that unexpected.
If you're a family, it's that unexpected engine that blew up and you're trying to find the money. And that now we're looking at Florida. How do you deal with that?
I agree with you completely. And it's going to be important that we begin to approach these things in a way that we can prevent as much damage as possible. And I think sometimes if we have a private insurance-based mechanism that, you know, for instance, I'll give you some examples. There are times when we've seen a particular house in a particular floodplain rebuilt four or five times when it would have been easier to for the government to buy it, you know, rather than to continue to rebuild it. But this is one of those areas where you're on the one side, you know, you want desperately to help your fellow human beings, and even if it means taking money from other fellow human beings to make sure that they have it. And that's essentially what we did today, and I voted yes and would do so again. I just think that it's very, very important that we try to, you know, to be there for each other. And at the same time, I think that it's important that we try to incentivize responsible building practices and things of that nature at the same time.
Yeah. Well, Congressman, the other day you tweeted that the U.S. economy is 1,000 times the size of North Korea. How can sanctions be effective when this nation's leader doesn't really care about its citizens? Un doesn't care about how the people live, as long as he's getting his. Isn't that right? I know this is
going to be exactly right. But he does care about being able to pay his generals. And he does care about being able to spend the money that he spends on weapons of mass destruction, because this is how he maintains power. I'm convinced that his primary motivation is to maintain his regime and his power and his place. And, you know, that when we talk about 1,000 times the size, you know, the economy of North Korea is anywhere from $13 to $20 billion with a B. Now, when you look at America, our economy is around $20 trillion. And the reason I mention that is because it gives us an enormous asymmetric advantage there, even more so even perhaps than our nuclear capability. They've got, I'm not going to suggest how many weapons they have, but they have a number of nuclear weapons, and we have a number of them. But if you look at it in terms of this asymmetry here economically, we really have a tremendous advantage on economically. And if we told the whole world that you can trade with North Korea or you can trade with America, but you can't do both, and that includes you, China, and that includes you, Russia, the North Korean economy would completely collapse, and Kim Jong-un's regime would ultimately collapse in a fairly short period of time. Now, he might try to do something desperate. We'd have to be ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the reality. To leave them on their present trajectory is insane. We absolutely must make sure that our objective here is achieved, and that objective includes the dismantling of North Korea's nuclear weapons capability.
And just real quickly, you got about 15 seconds, travel ban and oil embargo.
Well, those are important things, of course, but the big thing is just to make sure that they know that if they attack America, they're in deep trouble, and to sanction them until we can dismantle their program.
Congressman Trent Franks of Arizona, thank you so much. A friend of Washington Watch, we'll have you back on soon. God bless you. Thank you so much. Well, in recent years, florists, bakers, and photographers have faced legal challenges for not wanting to offer their services to gay couples. We'll talk to Alliance Defending Freedom when we return about a very important case.
Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
You are listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. It's a pleasure to be with you here. It's good to check in with Congressman Trent Franks. You know, folks, we need to be paying attention to what's going on in North Korea and what our lawmakers are doing and the way they're navigating. And this is a guy that could be trigger happy. He could be just hungry for power, as Congressman Franks said. And he will do whatever he needs to do to protect his power base and to see what is necessary, to do what is necessary. Even heard some speculation today that his end game is to go after South Korea. So there's a lot of dynamics over there that we don't always understand. But our lawmakers like Trent Franks, they get the big picture, and that's why we have them on here consistently to give you the news, to give you the insights in what they're dealing with. Well, and earlier today, on another issue, President Trump overruled congressional Republicans and his own Treasury Secretary Wednesday to cut a deal with Democrats to fund the government and raise the federal borrowing limit for 3 months. And, you know, they're trying to deal with the spending debt. They're trying to deal with Harvey aid. They're trying to anticipate now this hurricane that is threatening Florida. So these are all things that we're watching out for. And our congressmen are dealing with the finances of that. just like you deal with it in your budget and your household, trying to find where you can pinch pennies, find out where you can, where you need to spend money and where you don't. Well, we're trying to get a hold of Kristen Wagner. She's a senior counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom. Jack Phillips, a Colorado native and cake artist, he opened Masterpiece Cake Shop in 1993, and he's served joyfully in that community of Lakewood, Colorado for the past 23 years. Now, in July of 2012, two men came into Jack's bakery requesting a wedding cake for their same-sex ceremony. Well, Jack is a Christian. In an exchange lasting only a few seconds, Jack declined the request, saying he could not design cakes for same-sex wedding ceremonies. And Jack offered to make the couple any other type of baked good or sell them a pre-made cake. But because of his faith, he could not design a custom cake promoting a same-sex wedding ceremony. Well, now, Alliance Defending Freedom is representing Jack Phillips, asking the U.S. Supreme Court to restore his right to live and work according to his faith. Who would have thought we would live in a day where our faith is bringing about lawsuits, bringing about activists that say we don't have a right to live out that faith, and we don't have a right for that faith to shape our business practices and to do the things that we want to do. And the key to this story is that he said, you can buy a cake. I've got a cake here. I just can't do a custom cake that's going to celebrate your same-sex ceremony. And as a creative professional and a businessman, he says he shouldn't have to give up his freedom, his religion, when I open a bakery. So that is part of what this story is all about, and that's what we're facing today. And we're wanting to talk with Alliance Defending Freedom and to get the legal advice there to see how they're going to pursue this case. And for Phillips, the question is whether his actions really reflect a Christian approach to life. He's asked, what would Jesus do? Well, isn't that interesting how often the left, they use the Bible. They go to the Bible only during these times. No other time do they go to the Bible to make an argument. It's only when they feel it's to their best argument. And he said, well, you know, in my opinion, Jesus was a carpenter. I don't think he would have made a bed for their wedding. Isn't that interesting? Philip said he would have never condoned something that he was against. So today he's trying to navigate these waters. He's trying to deal with this very difficult situation, knowing that these very leftist organizations, these activists, LGBTQ activists, are coming against him and trying to shape the way he does business. So that's one of the things that he's dealing with, and the Alliance Defending Freedom, which is so good at doing, is coming alongside people and helping them stand up for their rights, helping them to do what they need to do, and help them put together a case on a solid platform. And I'm sure we have lots of people here that are listening that face these sort of issues every single day. You make decisions about how you're going to run your business, what you're going to do next, and you maybe even fear these calls and these attacks. Maybe we'll take some of those calls towards the end of the show. What do you do to protect your business? What do you do when people come to you in an aggressive manner because of your faith? Well, we see this happening on college campuses all over the country. What is going on many of these college campuses across the nation? Horrific stories. I've got four kids. We've seen so many different things on these campuses. Well, conservative students and ideals are under attack. we're going to talk with Campus Reform about what the answer is with these attacks when we return. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, and you are listening to Washington Watch.
Are you worried about the moral direction of America? Do you feel powerless to make a difference? Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. Established in 1983 in Washington, D.C., Family Research Council conducts research, develops policy, drafts legislation, and educates policymakers, pastors, and the grassroots. It testifies before Congress and shapes public debate through the media and internet. Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about Family Research Council, please visit us at frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news. Again, that's frc.org.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As Senior Director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Hear Mr. Arnakis discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion. If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
Hey, it's Wednesday, and you're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Tony is the president of the Family Research Council. I'm a 30-year media veteran and the producer of this radio program. It's a pleasure to be with you. You can follow Tony on Twitter @TPerkins, or you can go to the web at TonyPerkins.com. Well, as we've covered on this program a number of times, the meltdowns, and that's what they are, their meltdowns and lack of freedom of expression on many college campuses continues to increase. With us now to discuss is Cabot Phillips, the media director for Campus Reform. And I like this little bit of his bio. Red Alert Politics names Cabot on the 30 under 30 list of the nation's most influential young conservatives. Yahoo! Isn't that awesome? Cabot, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me on. Glad to be here.
Hey, it's great to have you on, and good to see someone of a younger generation that embraces conservative values and keeping a watch out for us. I'm going to read a couple of headlines, well, several, that are on Campus Reform right now. There are so many stories we could cover. And while I'm doing this, folks, give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Want to hear your stories. Do you have kids in college? Have you encountered some horrific things there where their freedom of speech has been shut down? I bet Cabot would like to hear those stories too, because they're reporting these stories on campusreform.com. And you would be astonished. But listen to some of these headlines. University promotes study linking anger to conservatism. University offers non-binary gender pronouns writing guide. Professor claims election resulted in widespread white fragility. What is that? What is that? Student group promotes anti-capitalist vandalism at career fair. College to offer thrice weekly cuddles. There you go. Cuddles with therapy dogs. And here's one. This happened, Cabot. This happened 5 minutes from where I am right now. You ready? Victim of banana peel incident says heart dropped instantly. This was Banana Gate at Old Miss University. The sorority and fraternity Greek leaders were at a weekend retreat, and a guy was eating a banana, couldn't find a trash can, hung the banana peel on a tree, and all of a sudden, there's all kinds of claims of racial divides and innuendos, and it got heated, and they closed down the retreat, and now the they're writing about it at Old Miss, 5 minutes from where I am right now. What's going on?
This is what we see on pretty much every college campus today, where professors and administrators are far more concerned with coddling students and making them think that nothing should hurt your feelings, you're okay, don't have to listen to anything you disagree with. They're not concerned with teaching students anymore. And we need to realize, look, college is a place where you're supposed to go to prepare yourself for the real world. And what we see at Campus Reform is students are graduating having never been forced to confront ideas they disagree with. Their professors coddle them into only hearing one side of a discussion. And overwhelmingly, those administrators and professors are liberals. And so they're only pushing their liberal ideology. And so students are graduating at an alarming rate with only liberal ideas in their minds. And their college degrees are not well-rounded. And it's going to have a scary long-term impact if we don't start to shine a light on all of this.
Well, Cabot, what advice do you have for people? I want to give out the phone number again, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Do you have kids in college? I've got four. We've been through several, and we see things from time to time. Do you have a student that has been condoned for a certain point of view in the classroom? But what are you encouraging parents, or do you have a word for parents? You're in the thick of this every day.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is accountability. A lot of these professors and schools as a whole think that no one's watching them. They think that no one is paying attention to their actions. So these professors will use their classrooms as basically, political lecterns to give their own personal opinions and indoctrinate students. And if students just stay quiet about it and don't speak out about what their professors are teaching in class, then there's not going to be anything that happens. Also, I think it's important for parents to remember that market forces will have an impact on universities. If parents just stop sending their kids and if kids stop applying to schools that are more concerned with pushing liberal ideas and pushing this political mindset than they are actually teaching, then universities will have to make a change. For example, Evergreen University had this whole free speech debacle where they, fired a professor who didn't want to participate in some forced segregation on campus for an all, day of white absence on campus. The professor was, pushed out of campus. So up there, that got a lot of news. And now the president of the school has admitted they've seen a noticeable dip in their number of applicants for this coming year. At Mizzou 2 years ago, where there was a big free speech debacle and there were Black Lives Matter protests engulfing the campus, they have empty dorm buildings on campus now because students have stopped going there. Parents have stopped sending their kids there once they see what's going on. So I think seeking out schools that aren't going to push a political agenda over an education is an important aspect of really letting these market forces take effect and actually begin to provide meaningful change where it matters.
Well, I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch, and we're talking with Cabot Phillips. He's with Campus Reform, the media director for Campus Reform. Go to campusreform.com. I think you'll be amazed at the stories there. And Cabot, I went to Mizzou, by the way. I graduated there in 1982, and a lot of people were confused about that meltdown because it is known for being a pretty open school. The total African-American population in Missouri is roughly about 11%. And at the University of Missouri, if my facts are right, had about 9% reflected in its total student body. I've been going back there for years as an alumni, played tuba and marching Mizzou alumni band, studied journalism there. I was in a fraternity. My blood used to run black and gold. And it's amazing how that commitment and support of my own university, my alma mater, has waned because of what happened there. And I've closed my checkbook. People call on fundraising. I don't go back. I went back for homecoming, marching Mizzou alumni band for 20 years. And it's hard for me to go back anymore. And I'm just not sure if people see. There's 7 dorms now. You probably know this that have been, that are empty this fall. And giving is down some $35 million. And enrollment is down roughly 4,000 students. So if we've got parents out there, Cabot, I would love for you to be able to answer a few questions. If you've got kids in college, what are you dealing with? Give us a call at 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234, and give us a call. Well, what other stories are you following there, Cabot? I see this cuddles with therapy dogs. Is that real? That's not fake news, is it?
That is not fake news. We have universities that are using taxpayer money in many cases to coddle these students because they want to make sure they're not having too much stress in their life. And so this is kind of the new trend of wanting to make sure students don't have to deal with stress, even though learning to manage stress is an important part of college. It's why you go to college, to learn how to handle those things. At the University of Georgia, for example, there was a story where a professor wrote in his syllabus that if students were too stressed out by their grades in class, they could just tell him what grade they wanted at the end of the semester, and he would give them that grade because he was so concerned with their stress levels. And it's a point to remember. You mentioned how you closed your pocketbook to Mizzou because of the way they've been handling things. That's an effective way of protest. We saw at Middlebury College, they have a professor who tweeted out all these things saying that, you know, all white people need to die because of, you know, their politics, and how Steve Scalise should have been left to die on the field because of his healthcare vote. And he was not fired. He was put on administrative leave. He was temporarily suspended while they gather the facts, even though they have all the facts. And they reported that they've lost over $250,000 in donations just this semester alone because of that. And that's the kind of thing that has a long-term impact. And so, you know, these stories, you know, kudos to your show for, you know, giving this a platform, and because that's what's going to change it, is actually covering these types of things, shining a light on it. Again, it's about accountability, letting these schools know, hey, people are watching. And they're going to, you know, we're going to hit you where it hurts in the pocketbooks, because if you're not going to change any other way, we've got to make an impact somehow.
Well, Cabot, our phone lines are lighting up on this. Let's go to Carol in Enterprise, Alabama. She says that alumni need to stop giving money to colleges. Carol, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello. Thank you so much for all you do.
Well, thank you. So have you seen this down in Alabama, too?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I mean, they're having Troy University, they're having meetings about it and coddling them at Troy University. And I just want to say that people start closing their purses to these alumni, you know, where they gather money up to give to the colleges. They stop giving them money and start teaching our kids instead of coddling them. Then I think things will change. And I noticed things have changed also in grammar school and the teachers that they're having there. And they, you know, it's just a brainwashing type thing that continues on as they go through school. And it's dumbing down our kids. It's dumbing, you know, they're doing this on purpose.
Cabot, what do you have to say to Carol in Alabama?
That's absolutely correct, and this is not an accidental thing that's going on, and you're so right. This is something that's being done on purpose. This isn't a thing where one day, you know, we look at our academia and we say, oh, my goodness, what do you know? What are the odds? 95% of our college professors now are donating to, you know, liberal causes, liberal candidates. No, this is an intentional thing that's done because the left, for so long, they've known that if you want to really make a meaningful political change in a country, you've got to start with education. And they really, in the last 10, 20 years, they've gotten ahead of the game there. And conservatives hadn't really noticed it. And they looked up and they realized that academia was completely full of liberal people pushing their agenda in the classroom through legislation. You're right. It starts in high schools and elementary schools now. We just reported on a story where a student wore a Trump Make America Great Again shirt to class. And the professor began to berate the student, telling them that they couldn't wear it in class. They had to either take it out or get out. because it was a Nazi shirt that they were wearing. So this isn't something that we don't only see this in college campuses. And again, we need to realize, how are they doing this? They're using taxpayer money, okay? These are public schools, not just private schools. These are public schools that are using their funds to go towards really indoctrination. And when a school gets more concerned with political indoctrination than they do education, that is a real problem that we need to address.
Well, let's get in some more callers here. Let's go to Amanda in Arkansas. Amanda, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi. I'm a parent of a college student, and I'm also finishing my degree currently at Arkansas Tech.
Wow. There are special awards for people like you.
Well, and I do online school because I work during the day. But last semester, I took a sociology class, and it was right after the election. And in this class, there were no tests. And at the beginning of the class, he made a comment that he had all right to fail you if you didn't adhere to his policies. So after each article he would publish, we would have to go in and write our comments and reply to other people's comments. And if you wrote anything that was conservative, you got a zero. So I had to put very gray comments. And my counselor got with me midterm. She's like, Amanda, you're failing this class. What is your plan? I'm like, there are no tests. I don't know what to do, because if I respond to these articles the way I feel I need to respond, then I'm going to fail. And she said, do anything you can. You just have to pass. So,
wow.
I mean, and at this point, I see college students, their main goal is just to graduate. You know, their parents have invested so much money, so why raise a ruckus to buck the system? And I literally see it, because I didn't raise my kids to be like this, but here I am going through the exact same thing, so I understand the pressures that are on them.
Kevin?
And how contrary to college is this, where professors are now scaring students into not giving their real opinions and not having discourse because they want a certain narrative to come out of their class? If any place in American society should be a place where it's a marketplace of ideas, where you can argue in a natural way and actually, you know, give and take back and forth ideas, it should be a college campus. That should be the number one place it's encouraged. So these professors are doing a disservice to taxpayers, are doing a disservice to students and parents that are sending their kids there. And people are now graduating having no real concept of how to, you know, disagree with one another. And that's one of the main reasons I think we see in society today where it's so polarizing, where people don't know how to have political discourse. It all becomes name-calling. It becomes violence because people now think that anyone who disagrees with them politically, usually it's liberal thinking this, anyone who disagrees with them must be hateful. They must be an evil Nazi, and they name-call and they commit violence against them because they were never taught how to actually disagree with someone on the issues and not just on a personal level. And that's what professors don't realize that the students are missing out on.
Well, you're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins, and we're talking with Cabot Phillips about the challenges on college campuses. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Of course, Cabot, this isn't all college campuses. There's universities like Liberty and Regents, and you know, there's a number of college campuses that are very attuned to this sort of thing and give you opportunity. And at least in my own life, Cabot, I know that I'm strong in my own beliefs, and I'm not threatened by those that may have a different opinion than mine. And hopefully we can get to a place like that. We've got about 35, 40 seconds here, Cabot.
Absolutely. And that really is where growth occurs. If you go to a college and all that you have happen is have your own beliefs, you know, reinforced and structured, you never hear opposing ideas, You're not going to actually form your own opinions. You know, I think some of the times where I, like you said, some of the times where I form my own opinions and strengthen them is by having to defend them and actually having to argue for them, hearing out other points of view. And so this is a disservice all around. And like you said, there are universities where that happens, where there is more of a fair shakedown. But really, for anyone listening about sending their kid to school, it's so important. Do your research. Do the homework. Find out what's being taught at the schools that you're paying so much money for. And that's where the change is going to happen.
Excellent. Cabot Phillips, Campus Reform Media Director, thank you so much for being on Washington Watch. Go find out more. Go to tonyperkins.com, frc.org. You can find more about campus reform. Find some resources there. I'm Russ Jones, been sitting in for Tony Perkins. Listen to this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. God bless. Have a great day.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.